Open, transparent, competitive processes when you ask processes. It's effective. therefore, keeping in mind that we are transformation objectives, we have support people in different institutions, different universities, and we keep an eye on those issues all the time as we go through our grant making process. We provide strategic research information to the system, and we distribute that across the system so that the system can monitor and measure itself and benchmark itself against international activities. We provide key research platforms for the system to utilize, particularly large equipment and complicated equipment that we can't replicate and duplicate at every university, that we make available to the research community. We have science and technology management expertise in the organization. We have some specialized research capacity, particularly on the research platforms that we provide. And we are a catalyst for local and international research collaboration. Our system needs to be part of the international science community in order to function effectively and facilitate those processes using a variety of mechanisms. And then lastly, site engagement, which is a very important part of our activities, is to make sure that we promote the value and the importance of science in society, and we try and drive this message into every household and every community that we can in the country, for people to understand the benefits and the long-term benefits of supporting science, because it grows our economy, it grows people, and it creates opportunities for people. We want to make sure that our participation is as effective as possible. So this is what we do in terms of our core competencies. Now this is a rather complex slide, and we jump straight to this one, but it gives you, under the five strategic goals that I just mentioned earlier, some of the key performance measures that we set ourselves as an organization back in 2007 when we established Vision 2015, our strategic document. And you'll see that there's a list of key performance areas and gives you a bit of a track record of our historic performance. You'll see some of the targets that we set ourselves right on the right-hand column, which is what we set in 2007 with the targets for 2015. Some of those we've already achieved and exceeded. Others we're struggling to get to, and we can talk about the reasons why, and I'm happy to share that with the committee. To give you a sense of the top two there, the number of accredited researchers, we've exceeded the target substantially already in 2013 and 14. The top one, the proportion of global R&D output, we're struggling to get to the 1%. And of course, this is driven by the levels of investment we make in the system. In other words, how much do we invest in the science system? Can we achieve 1%? And the reason why the percentage growth is slower than anticipated, of course, because many of our competitors and other countries are investing more, and so they're running faster than we are. So we need to think about how we can reach that bias as we move forward. So if you can go through all these performance measures and have a good sense of, they are growing, more of them, not all of them necessarily at the rate that we feel comfortable with, so we have to work harder to make sure that we get try and achieve those objectives in the long run. Now, our investments, of course, are not random. They align with the strategic policy frameworks that I mentioned earlier, the policy documents that we have. And this one slide refers to the grand challenges that are contained in the BSD team 10-year innovation plan. And it shows the historic investments that have gone through into those different components of the grand challenges, bioeconomy, energy security, global change, human social dynamics as examples of our growing investment in those areas. So we're growing over time our investment areas that are aligned with the long-term strategic objectives that are aligned in the DST and the innovation plan through our engagement with the DST. And this committee will be glad to see that the investments, anticipated investments in energy security are jumping up. I think it's an issue that was raised by the previous meeting, for those of you that can remember. Of course, one of the areas that is important investment areas in the Grand Challenge document is the GST Innovation Plan. Another important strategic document is National Research and Development Strategy. And that contains investment areas that are called areas of geographic expansion. Those areas where we as a science system can perform or punch above our weight, essentially, because of where we are in the southern tip of Africa. This gives us great access. And this gives you a sense of some of those areas. Paleosciences, you know the research history we have in the paleosciences, and Antarctic research, indigenous knowledge systems, and biodiversity. So these are just four of those. And it gives you a sense of the relative investments that have gone into those areas over the last number of years. Another area of geographic advantage, of course, is astronomy. We spend a lot of time and energy on astronomy. And the next slide, number 9, gives you a summary of our investments in SOT, the Southern Africa Large Telescope, the Sutherland, which we hope we can go and show the portfolio committee at some stage. I think it's a visit worthwhile considering, and we're happy to take you up there. We also have the other astronomy investment areas, many of them in human capital development around the areas of astronomy, and it gives you a sense of total investment in astronomy on the right-hand side over time. But of course, this is not everything, because everything that you see here is all our investments in astronomy, excluding the next slide, which is the SKA, the major part of our investment that we're making through our collaboration with the Department of Science and Technology. And of course, this is a construction project at the moment. Look at from CAT 7, these are the construction of NECAT, which is happening at the moment, and we'll see the budget allocations that we've made historically, but also in the future, for the completion, hopefully, of the NECAT instrument by the end of 2017. We also invest in equipment and infrastructure across the system, not just with some of the projects I mentioned here. On the left-hand side, you'll see the cutting-edge research equipment investments. It's about $100 million or slightly above that. It goes into high-end equipment, particularly at universities and science councils. We compete for these grants on an annual basis and grow our investment, high-end equipment investments across the sector continuously. We also have to make sure that our scientists can visit the top-of-the-range scientific equipment that may be distributed around the world, make sure that they're internationally connected, so they travel to CERN and they travel to all of other instruments around the world. So we fund that, which is relatively cheap in the second column. Of course, we also support our national research facilities, which you see in the third column. And then the fourth one is the SKA construction investment. So it gives you a sense of high-end equipment investments that are happening across the system. What does the NRF funding look like? To give you a sense, first of all, let me say that we at the NRF are delighted by the very positive growth in the funding that's gone into the National Research Foundation over the last couple of years. You can see it right in front of you there. It's come in different formats and forms. It's come through the NTF allocation. It comes through the NTF allocation and the ring-fenced allocation for particular activities. It's also come to us in the context of contracts to get rolled between us and the Department of Science and Technology continuously. This gives you a sense that the spending in the higher education and research community is increasing, particularly that component that comes through the Department of Science and Technology and the NRF. We are concerned at the national level that the spending of R&D, particularly from the business sector, seems to be attracting a little bit, and that's a matter of concern for us. So we need to apply our minds to how we're going to turn that around. The activities at the NRF arranged into five programs. This circle gives you a sense of the budget allocations for the different programs. The corporate program, there's the science engagement program too. There's the research innovation support and advancement, what we call RESA, which is essentially the grant-making side of the business. In other words, that's where the grants go to the universities and other scientists. Program four is the national research facilities, all of them excluding astronomy. Just give you a simple summary, that's what it comes down to. And program five, then essentially international facilities that are astronomy related, including the SKA project position. So it gives you a sense of the proportional budgets that we invest in those particular programs, and we'll share some of the details with you. Now, of course, as a government entity, we've also had to respond to the government call for cost containment, the current instructions from National Treasury. You see a whole list of things that we're doing in an organization to manage our costs into the future. We're trying to limit travel. We have video conferencing facilities we're putting in place. We're looking at putting a number of initiatives in place, particularly at the national facilities, to make sure that we have a sustainability plan for them and that we make sure that they can move into the future with confidence and make the kind of contribution we would like to see. But it gives you a sense of what we're trying to do to respond to that challenge that was put to the whole community by Treasury 2 years ago. So program one, I'll quickly run through what we do at the corporate level. I'm not going to go into the details. On the right-hand side, you'll see every time the budget allocation or the projected budget allocation for that particular program. On the left-hand side, you'll see the objectives that are listed there with a detailed description as to what's contained in those objectives. That gives you a sense of the areas of work that the corporate program is involved. Of course, we're trying to provide a conducive environment, if you like, so that the rest of the organization can function effectively. This is really what that program is trying to achieve. There are key performance indicators for that particular program on the next page, slide 7 from now, which are clearly related to our reporting and other obligations as an organization, the idea of having an unqualified auditor, etc., which I must say we've managed to achieve so far, we'd delighted about, but we'll maintain that in the future, hopefully. And then, of course, there's targets about overhead spending. We want to be very careful about the internal runway, so we manage and keep a firm eye on those in organization on a continuous basis. Now, over the next 3 months in the corporate program, we're rolling out the revised integrated performance management system. We need to package at our corporate office appropriately, but without spending too much money, and manage our overheads, as you see there, by engaging with arrangements and agreements with partners in terms of work rates and so on. And of course, we're also rolling out our new business intelligence system that's going to help us a lot to manage the environment more effectively and make sure that we can report more effectively as an organization in the future. And make sure that our reporting information is clearly auditable, so that people can track and trace the statistics that we can show at the end of the day. Program two, quickly, is important as the science engagement part of our organization. Again, in slide 20, you'll see on the left-hand side the objectives, the descriptions associated with that, and then on the right-hand side, you'll see the projected budget allocations for those areas. Importantly, to understand that science engagement is a cross-cutting activity, so it doesn't just engage with the community in terms of projects and particular initiatives, but it also cuts across all the NRF internal programs. In other words, the grant-making side of the business has a contribution to make, the national facilities have a contribution to make in this regard, and of course, we use SASTA as a vehicle and a driver to internally to try and make sure those connections happen. With the interesting and the good news science stories come from across the sector, from across the businesses, units of the organization, but of course also come from the entire research community. So their job is to make sure that we capture those good news stories, spread the gospel, and make sure that everybody's aware of what's happening in the science system to the best of our ability. Type 21 looks at the science engagement funding and gives you the allocations to SASTA. It's very small but rising now in the future contributions from the grant from the RISA program. Program 4, of course, is the National Facilities, and Program 5 is the Astronomy Center. Gives you a sense of the contributions to the total science engagement tax as stands at the moment, but some of these areas need to grow in the future, and that's something we're focusing on at the moment. Science engagement, in the next couple of months, we particularly want to strengthen the integration of the grant-making side of the business with SASTA to make sure when we grant the resources, that the new science stories come out of there and actually get distributed more effectively than we're doing already. So that's a challenge that Debbie and her team are working on to make sure we achieve that. We're conducting stakeholder surveys, and a very important initiative for us is the Advance the Science campaign, which we're launching together with the Department of Science and Technology, but also together with some of the other agencies in the sector, including the South African National Space Agency, is coming on board as a partner, and CSIR, and having conversations with us about that. This is really a campaign to try and get science awareness elevated in every household around the country. We want to make sure when people sit around the dinner table and have a conversation about career prospects, futures, choices for children, around every other table, that they have to choose science, but at least they consider science, and they are aware of science as a potential career opportunity. I don't think that's happened, and this is really what the objective of this campaign is along now. So we're putting a lot of resources into that now. You'll start seeing the thing coming through on your television channels and the media in the next couple of months as we go with the looking forward to seeing the impact of that. The Science and Society Lecture Series we've been running for a few years now, very successful. We get a large range of audience that participates in this exercise. It's run through SAFM, it's a collaborative venture, so we expose research chairs and other people talking about topical issues with the community, and it's also a radio phone program so that people can ask questions from senior researchers. It's a really interesting activity. Of course, we have the 50th anniversary of the National Science Olympiad that we had a celebration a little while ago together with the minister. And then, of course, the National Science Week is rolling out early in August. We're all looking forward to that. And, of course, the science engagement framework that we're developing with the Department of Science and Technology at the moment. Hopefully, Minister mentioned that in a budget speech as well. We'll make some announcements about what the direction of this, putting all the stuff together into a little package so that we actually maximize our impact as far as our investments are concerned. Okay, Program 3. on the table. There's the grant making side of the business. Again, I'll start off with it. It's the list of objectives, the budget allocations, and what it comes down to. But again, it's human capacity development. It's the core of the activities here. We invest in research infrastructure, and we invest in knowledge generation at the end of the day for international mobility, and then the support that's required to achieve that. So it gives you a sense of what they're trying to do there. There's a list of KPIs on the next slide. We measure the outputs that are generated through that investment, but also at the same time, the monitoring and measuring the number of black, female, grant holders, students that we support, because we have here a sense of that, and we have to manage that into the future, and we'll see some targets and things associated with what we're going to achieve over time. And then a couple of other things further down, so you can have a particularly important report for the number of postgraduate students that we support in the system. But they can be monitored on a demographic basis. The funding for the grant making side of the business comes from, again, various resource sources, the NPF core grant, the designated income that we referred to earlier, and then the link-based NPF designated income. So there's sometimes some other additional grants. You remember in 2010, Minister Pando allocated $200 million as additional funding for 1 year to the RAC boost our postgraduate investments. You'll see it reflected there. And the other income that you see there, primarily interest and other things that will come into the system that you can feed into the grant making system. The next slide, number 29, is slightly complicated, but focus on the bottom half of it. I want to just demonstrate at the top of that table that when we make our investments, we focus very clearly on making sure that we invest in all kinds and all levels of resources. We focus clearly on the next generation of students that we want to try and train, and make sure that the next generation of academics grow up and come into the system. We can support them post their training as emerging researchers and make sure that they can find their feet and become competitive and hopefully gain a position in some research environment. We also support established researchers, which are the people that train the next generation, so that the two speak to each other. But we also make a large number of strategic investments, things like this South African research, change the centers of influence that you heard about from the minister's budget speech. The strategic areas of investments are closely aligned with the strategic objectives contained in the DST 10-year innovation plan, but also the R&D strategy at the end of the day, to really elevate our research to the point where it's truly globally competitive and making an international impact as a system at the end of the day. Two areas of recent investment, of course, they are particularly in the next generation students, but also the established research, in other words, that ecosystem that we require to make sure that we have a healthy flow of new talent into the system, supported and mentored by the existing researchers in the system. In slide 30, that same picture is repeated, gives you a sense of the graphic form of the growth in investment, if you like, over the last couple of years, the next generation emerging researchers, established researchers and strategic investments. So those cross-cutting investments instruments are things like international programs that we put in place so people can be part of the international community. Chair, from there I'm going to skip a few slides if you don't mind, because the details of our particular programs, we don't have time to go into now, but I'll be happy to respond to them with questions. So if we can jump to slide 35, it gives you a sense. We have a lot of questions about the research chairs and centers of excellence. It gives you a sense over the last number of years how research chairs have been rolled out, the makeup in terms of gender and race.
Let me say page 35. I'm not sure whether we're ahead or they don't go together.
Does
your page 35 is not the same page that they are.
Is it 36? Sorry, there's something that I'm missing. Sorry about the chair. Thank you for pointing that out. I think I don't want people to confuse. But it's 36 on your system. Thank you very much. But I think it gives a sense of the current distribution of our shares. And of course, we're trying to grow this and make sure that it becomes as representative as it possibly can. But also remember that we're also trying to attract new talent in the system. So many of these shares are sometimes people that are being attracted from abroad into our system to add value to our research system as it stands. And then the centers of excellence give you an idea at the bottom there of the postgraduate students that are currently being trained in those areas, and the gender and demographic breakdown in those centers of excellence. Transformation always lies at the heart of our investments, and we have to drive it as an organization. If we don't get that right, we fail, and we've got to keep working on that as hard as we possibly can. As far as the growing side of the business is concerned, over the next 3 months or so and beyond that, we have to feed this ecosystem. next generation, emerging generation, established researchers as best we possibly can. And we're delighted by the indications from the department that there's going to be a significant increase in investment from Treasury as well to support the grant-making side of the business, particularly to support the human capital development side. I think that commitment is already there, and we're delighted that the system is moving in the right direction. The bursary allocations, we've always used excellence as a benchmark. We've always used demographics distribution as a criterion. In other words, transformation was part of the criterion in terms of bursary allocations. But we're also moving more and more in the direction of looking at need as a basis for allocating bursaries. And I think it's a conversation that we started with the system, and we're trying to unravel how exactly do we get that right and do it effectively. So that we don't compromise the system and make sure that we have the right impact at the end of that. I think it's important for a government entity that does invest in future students to focus on need as one of the criteria that we use as far as the bursary allocations. So we're developing the systems at the moment, and we'll give you feedback as they evolve. We've been focusing on the new centers of excellence that we have to roll out, that the minister announced, and of course always the research chairs make a significant contribution. One of the interesting things in the second last bullet there is the communities of practice that is developing around the research chairs. So all the research chairs that are working in areas that are related to poverty and inequality have put their minds together and are putting their minds together to actually engage with the National Development Plan and asking themselves, what can we do collectively to engage with the poverty and inequality issues so that we make sure that the impact of the work that they're doing collectively and have real policy implications at the end of the day. So we're trying to put the best minds that we have available working in these areas together to focus on the elements of the National Development Plan. And this is the first outcome of that process at the moment. So we watch that space and put that to you in the future. We've also launched the new research career advancement fellowships for emerging researchers. And to give you a sense of, this is again looking at the next generation of people and making sure they can put into the system effectively. Now, program four, just quickly, I'm going to run through them. This is the National Facilities. This includes the nuclear, biodiversity, environment, and conservation sciences areas. Again, we have objectives on the left-hand side, human capital development, research, infrastructure, knowledge generation. Key focus areas of what we'd have to deliver on. And then beyond that, they have the KPIs as well that they have to respond to with the measures and the targets indicated for you as part of annual performance plans in the future. Program 4, and then interestingly, the infrastructure investment. We received a large allocation over the last couple of years from Treasury to upgrade infrastructure at our national facilities. It's about 300 million rand over a period of 5 years. We've been investing that money, and it gives you a sense of the spread of that money over years and how it's being invested to make sure that the infrastructure is truly world class. What's happening there? We've just launched the AMS system. At Gauteng, Temple Labs, Minister was part of the launch a little while ago. This is the first time that we can actually do very deep time radio vetting in the system, and this provides that capability for the first time in the country. We replaced the Panagraph accelerator, which is now 40 years old, at the Temple Labs just down the road. We're finalizing our particle therapy strategy for Temple Labs together with the research community, and we're far advanced in talks with NEXA to look at the commercialization of the radioisotope production capabilities at Tema. So I don't know if this committee is aware of the fact that South Africa, between NEXA and Tema, is the largest producer of radioisotopes in the world. And I think we have a commercial opportunity here to flow directly out of the science system to make a real impact. And so we're going to try and make sure that we don't use that opportunity. We're talking to the Department of Environment Affairs about transfer of the National Zoological Guards to Sandy. We think it's a bit more appropriate, better home for that institution. And there's a lot of work going on in many of these facilities that you see there. We're upgrading and strengthening our strategic alliances across the system. Program 5 is astronomy. This is astrogeosciences. Again, we start off with a list of objectives, the budget allocations associated with those. We have key performance indicators, which is essentially the same as you've seen earlier. It's not fundamentally different. But I think it gives you a sense that we have to grow our investments not only in the science output across those facilities, but also in the human capital development that's required to make sure that we can maintain our edge as far as being competitive in those areas as well. We've made large infrastructure investments in astronomy, of course, the SKA Harmonizers, the old Meerkat construction project is a major contributor to this. And then over the next period, we have to do a bit of a catch-up with the backlog with Meerkat construction. This is part of making sure that we have a high local context to the construction of Meerkat. We have to develop and coax through the consulting engineers and other people, the industries and local industries and capabilities that we need to push the local content and contribution to Meerkat. That's called a little bit of a hold-up, but we can be confident we're going to catch up before the end of this financial year and make sure that everything is back on track there. We're busy converting dishes in Ghana and Mozambique together with the departments to ensure that we grow and develop the African capabilities to participate and engage with the Meerkat discovery projects in the future. We're upgrading the VLBI antenna at Hartwell so that we strengthen our capabilities from centimeter to millimeter accuracy in line with what's happening in the rest of the world. We're funding a 4-meter class optical telescope, which will work hand in glove, if you like, with the SALT telescope to make sure that we strengthen our capabilities as far as the optical telescope is concerned. And we're also replacing, putting a new 1-meter telescope in to replace some of the old instruments that have been there for many years, and essentially our museum pieces. We don't feel we should be training the next generation of scientists on museum pieces. We need to give them something that they can work on. And of course, we participate in very interesting projects, such as the Gravity Wave Astronomy Project and so on at the same time. So as far as organization of the whole is concerned, in terms of program one, gives you a sense of what we have to do to ensure compliance, and just to indicate to you that we are going to have to expand our Pretoria office. You know, the organization has grown from a 1.5 billion to close to a 4 billion rand organization. We're bursting into teams in the Pretoria office, so we're going to have to extend the wing onto that, so if you're aware of that, the fact that that's happening. As far as the science advancement is concerned, we do think that the act can be strengthened there. I think it's an ongoing conversation between ourselves and the department about how do we get that done at the right time. So there are some budget limitations of software, and I think that's the whole idea of this new framework for science engagement that's being developed, to make sure that we pull those budgets together, that we put our strength together and make sure we maximize the impact of what we do for the area of science engagement across all the activities and science entities. Program 3 is the grant making side of the business. We're delighted about the anticipated growth in funding for human capital development. We must maintain a balanced portfolio of investment to ensure a healthy research ecosystem. This South African National Antarctic Program, I think, is a little bit of a hiccup at the moment. This is something we need to focus on and pay some attention to. And the Research Information Management System is now developing nicely. We just have to make sure we're working with the department to see how we can secure all the funding that we need as far as building that out is concerned. Programs 4 and 5, I've spoken about the National Zoological Garden transfer. The refocusing of the national facilities on the science plan is a key priority for us. We have to make sure that they research intensive and competitive, and then we have to roll out the astronomy sub-agency, which now includes the Astronomy Advisory Council, which has been established, and the Deputy CEO, which has been appointed. He's accepted an offer and will start on the 1st of October within the organization. So we're making progress on that front as well. As far as major issues that we have to deal with, we do think that the national system of innovation needs to strive for that 1.5% of GDP investment in R&D. It's a critical factor. I think the scale of the science enterprise in the country is just so small. We're not making the kind of impact that we should be making at the end of the day. You know, a flea is always going to be a flea. And so we're at some stage we need to make sure that it really makes impact by making the investments that are appropriate and to make sure that we can be more competitive than some of the other science systems around the world that we can. We are looking at outsourcing some non-critical functions, like the radioisotope production, radiotherapy issues. We are sharing long-term lease agreements, especially for office space, structure organization, the NZC transfer. The Mozambique for Science is an important opportunity for impact for the whole system, and we're going to pursue that. Looking at cost containment measures, and we hope that the new NRF board, I know it's the subject, will be in place by October by this year, and that the latest if possible. So in conclusion, the NRF is very appreciative of the close collaborative relationship that's developing between the Department of Science and Technology and the NRF. I think the degree of collegiality and collaboration there is very encouraging. We're also encouraged by the incremental growth in funding that we've seen over the last couple of years, but as I indicated, the system as a whole is not yet optimal, so we have to be is more ambitious as far as we're concerned. And we will embark on a broad consultation exercise with the higher education sector and science councils and business and other people and run up to the development of a new strategic plan, which will be aligned with the national development plan and we'll hear the some pieces as well. We are a little bit concerned about the unsustainable baseline funding, which still hovers around below 5% at the end of the day. We can grow the programs and investments, but we start to pay salaries, and somehow we're not getting that done. So I think it's a challenge for the whole system, if not particularly to our environment, but I think it's something that Parliament should be aware of and think about how one tries to address that problem if one can. And then, of course, the NRA board has asked the NRA to expand the strategic capability over the next few years, and we're going to make some investments in that regard. And Chair, with that then, I'd like to finish there and open up for questions. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Judge. I don't know why your term doesn't have a capitalization in this fund.
No, it's only the second one.
Only the third one, I don't know why.
That means from, so it's only one.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Jason. You said that an eye-opener. I'm sure William members, we got it really, and we looked at them, but some of the errors were not making sense. But we have actually made it to be clear, and it makes sense. So members, I think it's up to you now to answer questions. I don't think you'll be the only one who will answer the questions. I think all of us will be sharing questions. It would also say that just to leave them on their questions, that some of the money you take it to universities, and those universities, I don't think they shout the same loudness. Some of them they shout much louder than the other. And do you consider those that even the one that is quiet is probably the one that needs most of the money? And that goes into autonomous universities. Sometimes when they want to have certain things, they say, no, I'm not under the training, but only to find that money that they have is coming from the fiscal, is coming from our taxes. And they say, no, I mean, how do you deal with that? There's something that the trend that is running in South Africa. In fact, I just heard that in the first day, the two kids who one of the ones from the gym is dying, but somebody has walked with them and did this ritual killing. And I think the ritual killing is not really, it's all that people don't understand. Even when I don't understand something, I'll say somebody has bewitched me. Even what he wants to do is like die from it. If I can't think about TV and other things beyond, I'll say no, somebody has just bewitched me. So, and that's what's happening in the world here. That's why we're heavy with them, that's so much. But we have not seen it. I'm not sure how many of us have actually witnessed this in Zanzi. In fact, I probably go better than anything.
Very definitely in the next couple of months.
Oh, no, the next couple of months.
Okay.
So I definitely, but we'll request you to draw down the question so that when you answer, you just answer all of them. Remember, I see Annelie.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. I think as new members, except for my colleague here, to this committee, it's quite daunting. I think one of our great challenges is just these parts of the acronyms and creation. Understand what all those are. I think that's one of the difficult ones in going through the documents, not quite knowing what everything is. But you know, I said that I think that he does amazing work, and I'm saying this because I'm a part of the NRA project funding. But what I would like to know is, in terms of the funding that is available and the application for funding, could you give a sense of the percentage of applications that you have to turn down? In other words, are there more applications than actual funding available? And then could you perhaps also then elaborate on the stand-up situation? I'm not quite clear what problem there is. And then thirdly, I think also in the budget speech I also indicated that we are quite aware of the funding problem and lack of funding efficiency from the business side. And I know that the department does have tax incentives, but it's apparently not really being taken up by business. Maybe one should have to get ways of promoting that to for the fund, and the government funding, it should be business funding as well.
I'm not sure if you were here the last time. I think there's a law that will pass that every parliament could look at what was happening in the Department of Science and Technology and actually change and actually ask for more funding or change, move the funding from one area to the other. And I think it's a bonus to actually assess that you benefited from the funding. And I'm sure some of the members are going to follow you. Okay. May I see this?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you. I ask for your presentation and simplification of the presentation. I just want to find out of your vision 2016. How far are you from the attainment of that vision and in all the areas that you have identified? And the attack of the issue of private or business sector, the funding, which is being a great concern, more especially because there's not much that is from the public sector. But it is something that is addressed, and I think the committee is committed to that more so that we believe that science and technology is actually the spine for the vision for the NDG. The issue of the ITMF, you did go into launch it, it's being launched. And I think it is one area where it needs to be monitored so that you don't pay the fish for fish for swimming. And that those who are supposed to get ITMF are actually those who deserve. That and then sometimes the issue of not following the quarterly assessment by the line manager, and there's some malicious complaint at the end, just to find the National Science Week. We have raised this issue and believe that it is to be done, so probably it should be extended to a month. And on this oceanography equipment, that's true, that is linked with what the president was launching last week of the marine technology and so on. And on the issue of mentoring within the department, young black women. It's happening. How is, I'm impressed that you in the presentation you do have that breakdown of how many black or how many women. And it's top level of mentoring. The act to the strength we spoke about. And lastly, on the board that should be in place by October 2014. So what processes are in place to ensure that there's a smooth phase in and out? And what percentage of the board do you have for the issues of continuity? Thank you.
Thank you, Mandy. I'm not sure if on another hand, maybe if there's no other hand, maybe you could respond to the board.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for questions. I'll try and run through some of them. I'll pass some of them on to my colleagues if you don't mind. I'll get in my due way. I think, as far as the university investments are concerned, there's something we monitor very carefully. Try and make sure that we support resources across the system, all universities best as we can. And part of the problem is that we have institutions that are really research intensive, and we have other institutions where research culture is not as strongly developed. So we put in place mechanisms and programs to help those institutions to develop and grow the research culture within the institutions. We have to do it in a way that allows those institutions to retain that capacity, because if you just train individuals that are not working in a focused area, they go up and they become strong and then they are gone and they go to another university again. And the university is left without capacity again. So we need to try and identify what we call niche areas where the universities can grow truly capacity that can't be repeated elsewhere, that can't be taken elsewhere, that they can actually obtain themselves. So these are the programs we're involved with to make sure that we spread more equity in the investment across the institution and grow all of their capabilities. And also the thing about the research chair at the center of the experts, and make sure we make connections in between the research intensive universities and the rural based institutions to make sure that we grow the investment in the job. So it's an ongoing process of engagement upon this institution, but we're working as best as we can to strengthen the capabilities on a consultative basis. We can't respect the room, of course, so we engage in conversations and come up with roadmaps that we can together with them. That's part of what we do in the regard. And then the funding applications question came from the Honourable Rupit. Jansen, maybe you can just respond to that, please. Thank you.
Yes, we fund 30% of the systems. So there's a high demand, but because of a possibility of resources, we're not able to fund the entire system. So therefore, the influence that we have on the system is limited. The only way to use it, of course, is to increase the number. The mandate that's been given by the DSC is one, to increase the number of bursaries, but also to increase the value of bursaries. One of the fundamental challenges we face is retaining students within the system. So a young child who is the first degree student in their home is expected to work. Now, if you give a bursary of 40,000 pounds for 100, and they are getting paid off the further degree 80,000 pounds, the temptation to leave the system and go to work is great. There's an expectation from the family. So we have to very carefully consider how do we retain them. At bursary level, the minister was almost a salary, and that would require a huge amount of resources. In fact, the minister is very aware of it. It's in our KNAP documents, KNAP Products and Research Enterprise, and as she's indicated, in that document, it will take another 6 grand to get interested in it, especially the level of bursary. But we are doing both in an incremental way.
Thank you, Jensen. And then there's also a question about the Senate and the other program. I know that the officials from the department are working very hard with the officials from the Environment Affairs to strengthen and get the program properly aligned. I think it was just something that sort of fell between the cracks, especially with the moving around of resources, like the ships and things that were moved from one department and researchers moved from one department to another. It's a program that I think went through as a result of being not properly coordinated. And I think that they now have the partners working very hard to try and pull these things together to make sure that we have one conversation around the marine and Arctic environment, and to make sure we come up with a strategy that we can collect. There's a number of departments that have an interest in that area. It's not just the technology and so. So it's a complex environment, and it's something that we are pursuing. And then just in response to the other question, I want to say that the conversation is on the go about the roll-up of the marine, the initiative on all the sacred question that the President has launched, and all our researchers and people involved in these programs are part of that conversation, so we're getting regular feedback from them about that initiative. So what we're asking is saying how can we contribute and where the areas we can contribute to that initiative as effectively as possible. So that conversation is actually happening, and in this week as we sit here on all the sacred. Then there's another question from the Honourable Rotrit about the taxis, if I can remember. The tax incentive scheme, I think we've all realised, is not working optimally. And I think we're trying to explore ways to make sure that we can get it to be more attractive to the business sector to engage with. It's one of those areas where I think sometimes one can fall over your own feet into the process of trying to get things done. And I think that the way that the criteria have been drawn up at stage is actually a little bit of a barrier for entry into the system. For newcomers and new industries, they want to be dragged into the system. And I think if we just look at those entry requirements very carefully, we should be making it a more friendly environment to coax people into the system, even if it's at low levels of return, but to make it friendly so that they can have maybe different levels of support depending on what kinds of activities they prefer to invest in. That way we will coax people into the system and they'll become part of it. Because at this stage it's like really the all or nothing thing. You either qualify or you don't. It's a little bit of an thing. I think we can soften the boundaries there a little bit and make it more friendly. But I think that's a conversation that's happening. I know the party is working very hard on trying to get it. So we have to have a there's nothing wrong with the principle. It's a question of how one makes it accessible without it being exploited by industries that are government subsidizing industry globally. It's that careful space that we should navigate in as well. Then the Honourable Maseko, the Chair, also asked a question about Vision 2015. Now, our Vision 2015 is to the end of the financial year, end of March. So it's pretty soon around the corner, just 3 months away. That's why we're working on the follow-up strategy at the moment. In terms of attaining all those objectives, I think, to be honest, I think we maintain many of them, but we're not going to get 100% of them. I think there are one or two of them that are losing us. Like the top one that I illustrated to you, where the other systems that are just investing so much more. You know, the Chinese are investing so much in their own system. They're running away from us, and we need battling to set up, and I think that's part of the problem. Some of those objectives we may not actually attain in 2015, but that is not going to lose our ambition for the system. We have to carry those into the next strategy and make sure that we keep pursuing those. The 1% of R&D output, just to put it in context, and it's not just a thumb size figure, that comes from our population size. We're about 47% of the global population, about 50 million people. So, in that sense, so if we want to punch above our weight, we've got to go about 47% in terms of our global R&D output. So I think 1%, that's where the figure came from. So that's what we're striving to get. The business investments decline, you mentioned that, and the IPMS thing, the integrated performance management system, we have one in place, it's working. We're just strengthening it. We, as an organization, we have a philosophy of continuous improvement. And I think the IPMS system is one of those where there's always room for improvement. And you learn the hard way as you implement these things to make sure you reward the right kinds of behaviors. And as you pointed out, I think that's right. Dave, do you want to respond to the National Science Month?
I think the National Science Week is launched this Saturday at the University of the Free State. We're really, a week is never enough, a month wouldn't be enough as well. But I think if we go back to what the chairperson started, some entities, some programs are just louder than others. And this is one of the flagship programs of the Department of Science and Technology, which is rolled out nationwide through all the provinces, reaching really learners and educators, but in recent years a very good focus on drawing the public, especially through the network of science centers. But that doesn't mean that there are not other things going on throughout the year, so there's large investments in other ongoing programs that have a much longer lifespan than the high focus of the week. So you have public engagement around biotechnology, public engagement around energy, public engagement around nanotechnology, public engagement around astronomy, which are all ongoing initiatives, which at this stage just, maybe are not having a focus of a week, but are on a longer term ongoing basis. But I agree with you, this kind of high-profile attention that we get on media and just the general awareness in the community around science and technology that we managed to achieve in a week is something that needs to be rolled out on a more continuous basis.
Chair, then, if I can just move on to the next question about the mentoring department, the Honourable Supervisor as well. I think the couple of things we're doing in this regard, we're quickly aware of the representation at the senior level of an organization. I think we're working to try and resolve that. I'm going excited. All I can say is what's the space that we've been having in the next couple of months or so, hopefully. But we've also put in place a general management development program in the organization that we run at this stage service providers at Stellenbosch University with
all our senior staff, and particularly focusing on the female staff in that regard, and to make sure that they expose to the types of management training within the context of the organization so they can strengthen themselves and make sure that they can be competitive when the next position is become available and open to themselves forward. So it's something we're working on really hard at that level of the organization, but we're also working at low levels. We have other management development programs at junior levels as well to grow people in the organization. We realize we have to grow our own pillar, and so we're doing that actively. But we also are doing something else. We're putting a number of things in place, like the internship program you must have heard from the Department of Science and Technology. It's one of the things we're very proud of. We manage that on behalf of the department, so that's been very, very successful. I mean, the placement rates of 1 year interns, if you're undergraduate graduates being absorbed into the sector at rate about 65% or so, is really impressive. And if you look at even those that decide to continue to study, then the success rate goes up to 85%. So it really makes a big difference. I think we just have to create those opportunities for young people, and we're confident that they will grow into and fill those shoes and do the job. So then you mentioned that at the end of this, the new board and what's happening with that process. I think now it's in the hands of the department at the moment. As far as I know, it's an ongoing process in the department. They've gone through a nomination process. They're now going to do an internal consultation process, and a few board members will be announced, I guess, timelessly so that they can be brought on board in October. We're confident that in terms of issue of continuity to make sure that there are some board members to go forward into the future. And we from outside will make sure that we put in place a handover process and an induction process for the board to make sure. Thanks, Jim. I think that's the main major question on this.
Thank you. As we've been done by another member, she's another individual, but not myself. So, welcome, another. Thank you very much for that presentation, even the response to the presentation. You don't have to answer this. I'm just commenting on some of the things. And maybe I'm not sure with you, but you know, whenever they don't know given, the people, they don't know the name given. So when I say I'm given, then they say spell it. And I usually say B for February. You're talking about your LKA. I'm told your LKA is looking at the universe from the ground. Now, if it's looking from the ground to the universe, it doesn't serve only South Africa. Even the other countries represent it. Now, I know you mentioned other countries, what you are doing in the other countries, but what is the relationship in the information that you get about Mozambique, the source of Southland, whatever? But I know the project is not yet, probably you might not have an answer now, but it's something that. That I was just thinking about, the Chinese, you know, the population of China too big. I did talk about the human habitat, but then the same person, the same person that too big. But I think the attitude is slightly different from ours. They're hard worker, and they always want to put it on the website. And probably this is one of the areas where we need to work. But what I know was still obsessed with what happened with our history, what has happened to us, which brings me to another point. We have a question, a comment. One thing that probably I must say when this first meeting that we had with you is that whenever you do something, you don't start a well-done type of thing. Because of our heart, it's trying to have not feel for the white man. But it is up to their attitude to say it was not God made to be us. But it was a mistake, and we've realized that let us be passionate in making sure that even others, let it not threaten us that they are coming to the fore. Let's just work together and move forward. And one tends to think that would be the best way of I know something has happened. Because I just hear for other people, and we are in a lifestyle, we want to die and live. So why can't I live having that something for those that legally were made not to have it? Without fighting, without pointing fingers at this other person, I had an opportunity, but I didn't give that opportunity to the other before I died. And that attitude, I mean, that attitude is coming from me, and we want to encourage it to continue with this every day of the organization. I think the one point that is very important that is something that we're going to do as part of the parents. All you need to do is to give us information so that we can fight with you and help you in making sure that that one contact person is going to be there. Because we tend to think that science and technology is the key in advancing in our people. As I was saying, you go to all these programs and that the key is what you get. Because we don't understand, you think that there's the reason. Let me do this. But if you can analyze the skill set, you find that there's nothing that is better. I mean, I mentioned something here, somebody when I was young. Somebody who started drinking saliva. You know, when you drink beer, cups of beer, you share it with everybody. But years before, that's the end of the line. Because of drinking saliva, he had no tremor, that he couldn't sleep properly. So he had to put at the end so that when he has been, nobody drinks something. And because he was so popular, everybody said he was a witch. And then I just think that's what he did. Because when I started doing this, I said, no, this man is attracted to this. Which could be controlled. So why kill those people unnecessarily? And unfortunately, the ones that were killed were the old women who were acting skin and who didn't have us, so they would kill them. And then I think science. I'm very careful with implants. With implants, I think the business has got the same problem as we had as a community, that we don't know what they are. We think that there's very little that is and so problems that should be included. It's not for us. But I'm sure they would understand the implants because they would be the first to know. But I know some of them will be friends, there's no doubt about it, but that service, you know, if they know that I know this is under the first, and I'm sure they will be the first. Some of the part of our job, to actually try and talk to them and make sure that they do understand. As I said, I don't want you to respond to some of the things. It is just comments, but we would love to be chair of the board who would need all of you to have a word. We don't want you to get us here without say anything to us. You must say something, you believe it's what I said. The chair of the board, and then we'll complete and go to the minister. We want the chair, we're voting you to say something.
Thank you very much. It was something only 2 words. But I think the issue that was raised by the honourable member about the transition from the one board to the next, I think is an issue. The executive and current board have been concurrent. And once the departments have decided who the new board members are going to be, then the current board will have summary documents, which indicates the kinds of deliberations and things that they have. The new board can take that into account as they move forward. So I think it's been a very thorough process that's been done by the executive. And then we just wait for the final indication of who the new board members are going to be from the department. So thank you very much for the opportunity to make the comment.
By the moment, myself, we can nominate two. We can ask them. You know, one thing that I like with science and technology, Dr. John, is that scientists, you never get financial corruption. You know, scientists, if you want to hear how much sodium is here, they consider it and look at that amount of sodium. The money that they get here is going to that. The only thing that they will steal some nice paper. I want to have my Thank you very much. We will be meeting the next 5 years except for the board. I think the next 5 years will be free. We'll get ties of us, but it's the answer of the probably as well. But what time to see when to meet these companies?
We'd like to share the SBA track and everything, and so please keep in touch with some ISNRs and you should set us up. Okay.
You know what happened in 2011? We were told that if you go there, you must carry your cell phone, your navigation, the camera, now the flight was afraid of going to the money.
We will probably bring you back.
Thank you. Thank you.
the mental social care is a vulnerable and then I think we need somebody for this, but we need to miss to find out to help us and put all the acronyms, put them now for CSIS. So somebody would need to write all the acronyms of science and technology to the land and people so that we could memorize that. So CSIS, and fortunately they are already here, we assume that they're chasing us the biggest amount of money. So we need to show that, that they're getting a lot of money. This is the parliament. And the parliament is divided to to make it function better and easier. So this is the Committee of Science and Technology that looks at science and technology specifically. The members are already here and they want to listen to us. They want to listen to us. We are told that 92% of the budget of the department goes to NDA and we are one of those who's getting a bigger share. So we want to hear from you, what are you doing with this money that you're getting from the taxpayers? And since we are meeting for the first time, having the pleasure of meeting, we will engage you with questions. It won't be answered questions, it won't be, we'll just be all the questions. Because we are meeting for the first time, so we'll be asking good questions. And after that, we try to find some time so that we can always see where you are looking for, so that we can understand. Unfortunately, I'd accept for the boys is that those who are of this they're going to be with us for the next 5 years. Whether you like us or you hate us, but they're going to be with us for 5 years with you. And we don't think anything is going to change. So remember that members are sitting here, maybe let's introduce some of them. And I think the term will allow everybody to talk so that we can hear everybody's voice.
Good morning and welcome. My name is Linda. I work with the ANC. Good morning. My name is Sobele. I'm Sobele, member of the committee.
Why are you new, Linda?
Yes, I'm okay.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. I'm the group representative responsible for research and development.
That's
good morning, I'm honourable members. I'm a disaster guest coming to the Southern Parliamentary Day at my office.
That's a person you know.
Thank you very much,
Ms. Bekesi, but I'm sure by the time we finish it, we'll have forgotten most of it. But since we're going to be together for 5 years, we'll end up being friends or false, whatever. But I'm not sure whether it's ready. Is it ready now?
Yeah, yeah. My name is Rottenberg. I think we can
start.
infrastructure, high-end computer infrastructure, high-end fencing, microscopes, and so on, to conduct all the research in the research institute to do so, otherwise they would be that kind of thing. And the financial resources, and here are not just about talking the signal about money coming in, but also the proper governance of money and the deployment of money in the managing of the business of the net. And then the corresponding good governance. We are very clear that there's simply no room for compromise in that regard. So it's a minor question. Not only. Then once you have all those fundamentals in place, then you can begin to engage in RGNI is another acronym, research, development, and innovation activities. Conduct research, partner, the mandate suggests that what to do, manage processes and transfer technology in order to apply it to an impact on society. We are not here, SSR, doing blue sky research. The intention there is not to say that CSR is at the core of all of this, but simply to indicate that we engage with all of our sister institutions, all of whom, by the way, have particular specific mandates that tend to speak to particular areas of work, such as MSC, health and medicine, what I'm saying about the commission, and of course, there's a variety of other institutions that are not doing research, which arguably, you know, are seen as a core part of European industry, target research agents is universities, that's how it's been government funds, and development is the state of this part. That's on top of the joint federal approach. What we would have to do is actually a couple of examples of how it's actually as a means. That's sustainable human settlement, water infrastructure.
might be sitting in at a hotel. Yeah. And I'm not sure who's coming over, who's going to drive and so on. And so it's generally the reduction of the bandwidth to and then manufacturing in particular, not just there actually, because I mentioned which support manufacturing are not talking about, you know, having a high tech, trying to do the industry in making such an important verification of technology. That's an example of high tech industry. But other things like simply supporting industry with being more efficient, being more energy efficient. Sometimes this is our
Liverpool Wales is 5%. So maybe, yeah, we're exceedingly well, but generally, such as, for example, CSIR and all our sister organizations, which has trusted the Liverpool quite like this. But the point is, without wishing to put too fine a point of it, that it may be the case that a good proportion of the parliamentary commanders for the time of what USA allocates comes to CSIR. But in fact, it's not a good proportion, it wasn't all in that, because the general economic growth was and continues to be a growing organization. It's grown faster than the rate of growth in parliamentary we currently that group is now standing about 3% of the overall cost, which would be nice, I think, for more. I think that's the more driver of it. Cumulative patterns, I'm putting cumulative here, that is some of as a whole at any time, rather than just saying these are the numbers, because it's not not as a condition, just because the number of the project that we should have been for the look at the total number that we continue to hold for the time, so they take up that end, but also we can last that end, because it just comes to a friendship to sustain that and that's what it looks like currently. Yes, I can continue. And then, that's what it looks like here on the end. You can see that this is indeed now. And that's something that is an example of the kind of thing that we do that has an impact that then generates royalties for us. But the important thing, right, and that in the instance is a device for applying minors as a emergency escape. It's extremely important. It can make a difference between people being able to continue breathing before the rescue and simply not being able to breathe in a situation of a rescue that is not fast and can't breathe and so on. So that's the kind of impact that for us is far more important than how much money we generate from it. And and that's dependent on our investment in property planning equipment over the past 5 and 10 years, and that's what we look at. And then the Samsung, I think, let's move on. Oh, and there's an international, we were often get asked, okay, this is all very well, but how do we really know how good you are? How do we benchmark you? How do we compare you with other similar institutions? Universities, for example, have got league tables, international league tables, that say, for example, what entities are producing hundreds of something, and so on. And sometimes these league tables are also by region, for example, by classes of countries. We don't know how to evaluate them. This is a question that was often asked me about all of them. So this set of having an evaluation exercise conducted in a rigorous manner by a retrospective consultancy that is addressing this issue, as we do. We then compared 10 articles there that are from the research and technology organizations, which are South Africa. Then found that actually we will hold our own quite well. I think it's very probably something that we like to farm of our set our role as DDT so for example, very strong in the capital development diversity financial performance. Where we did lag fall below the mark was in the number of our presence, which is our outputs as a matter of in particular, the proportion of our creations and the proportion of our potential. Otherwise, I put some examples of, as I said, there's an example. We really take this very seriously on HRS, science and technology workforce, young people, women, and these are examples of excellent research. Then let's move on, perhaps, you know,
leave that for us, and then we'll talk about the example of impact. And I think at this point, it probably says thank you on your presentation, but who has not actually intended at this time to stop and drop it, but then to continue and talk a little to the examples given, and I'll invite my colleagues to comment. However, let's have to be guided by you, and maybe want to call at this point and take some questions and can respond as best we can, and then also proceed to comments.
No, I think that it's complete
shows how we add value to indigenous knowledge. And in this specific case, we add value to indigenous knowledge in how our people have used plants as sources of medicine and nutrition. And we document that using ICT systems. We check the material that they use, be their plants, the fruits, the herbs, and so on. We bring them into laboratories. We analyze them, and we find the underlying basis for the functions or the effects that they use when they use this plan. And then if we then manage that and we develop it and mainstream it, add new IP to it, we then share the benefits of whatever royalties we may earn by licensing some of the new products that we develop on the basis of indigenous knowledge. And in fact, the CSR is renowned for having a very strong system of benefit sharing with the indigenous people who provide the materials with which work. A good example that we can show for successful work that is presented here is a mosquito repellent candle. But that is not the only thing. We have a product that we hope will be licensed by a huge manufacturer of beverages, and we're expecting royalties on that. In the authority, we've also done work on other materials that we hope to be able to share with you. So that is an example of how we use and give value to indigenous knowledge and share benefits with our people. Then, talking again about the diversity of work, Dr. Pitini's presentation spoke to how there is a variety of players assisting and adding value to our services in the healthcare sector. The CSIR has put in place a flagship. And when we talk about the flagship, we're talking about a large integrated program that is impact-oriented. When we look across the CSIR and all our capabilities, and then we integrate them in order to make impact. In this particular case, the flagship is focusing on how we use ICT and diagnostic technologies that are ICT enabled to support primary healthcare. So in this particular instance, we've got two examples that I've given. A mobile health platform in which we send out, we work with community healthcare workers to go out, collect information on household data parameters, and then upload them already directly to the district level, eliminating the need for notebooks that may get lost, repeated data collection that may result in errors, and then we create a standard platform, piloting the activity in the city of Tshwane. We also have a technology that we're quite proud of, which is shown in the picture here, where instead of people going to a place of healthcare services to give blood, they're paying for taxes to go there, they give blood, and if they are late, their blood collector is gone because the blood is collected and taken to a central service facility for analysis. Then they have to come back again another day to get the results and so on. This device that we talk about, that is called Plonosis, speaks to the ability to go there, and then you get a little pinprick, your blood is drawn. If the image of that blood is taken, sent to the cloud somewhere, where a proficient professional does a quick analysis of what's going on with the person, and can very quickly send some very basic information, basic account information, to the service provider they then facilitating that the person gets to understand what's going on with them very quickly and efficiently. And so forth. One other initiative that I think is worth mentioning as well in the healthcare sector is the support we've provided, and that is not to respond, to our Department of Health in helping them to architect the patient information, health patient register system in support of the NHI, which relates to our capabilities in enterprise architecting, ICT, managing databases, optimizing them, making them interoperable with other systems. So I could carry on, but I should stop now and let others stick to other examples.
The CSR has developed capabilities and complicated things, for instance, geographical information systems, information and communication technologies, or metrics, radar technologies. And some of these were deployed to very close to the Department of Defense. We have now started looking at ways to deploy these technologies in many different areas, such as public safety and the protection of our resources. We have, in the case, signed an MOU with the South African Police Service to assist them with better information, situational awareness. We've also started working with Sanfac to deploy the technologies in an effort to combat poaching of rhinos and other agencies such as the Hawks. We are building a facility at the CSR, investing heavily in that to now improve our capabilities in this area. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's possible to spend my time going through another example. Allow me, if I may, talk about our relationship with Transnet as an example of when I'm working with the state of there's a number of questions that should be about doing with Transnet. By the way, I'm one of the features are not exactly reflect that, but a technology that we developed, which monitors cracks or pick up cracks in regular life. It happens, you're using very similar independent technology to one to the technology used in the 3000 network. Basically, what you do is you have a sensor and they have a way of capturing in a manner akin to the way people used to tap railway lines and listen to the sound. You put on here and have a member of the track. And you can do this electronically and pick up for any tap you want to see. And when you do this, then Transnet can have the assurance that the railway lines are okay. And if they're not, they can go into and do something about it and therefore prevent the rail. I did that example because it is once again an example where we're not necessarily making an impact in the industry by putting by starting out a new company and generating income and generating new jobs, but we are making a difference by deploying technology that enables Transnet to then operate more efficiently and save money and operate more safely by having fewer delays. And one can attach a monetary value to that, and indeed, I think of hundreds of millions that have been mentioned since this came across. That is not one example. A number of other things about doing assisting Transnet to improving ports, radio, and production operations through our system. Development activity to such degree that we've not just signed an MOU, but have a very intimate partnership now with Transnet, and set up as R&D labs on our facilities, on our premises, etc. And that's something that's reflected that in the future side on the work and the outcomes that we're arriving from such a thing. So, that would be. A little bit on infrastructure development in our colleague on the paper.
through the Presidential Infrastructure Coordination Committee to focus on big infrastructure initiatives. And the two specific initiatives that we'd like to highlight and mention is the ones that we're supporting here include tip number 15, which focuses on providing broadband access to all. And in this regard, what we do is not only play a coordination role, but also provide technical support and technology initiatives to make sure that very remote areas, remote rural areas are connected. But specifically an initiative that we're quite proud of is the initiative associated with C15, which is to coordinate municipalities, rural schools, and now we're moving into health support, health centers, using wireless technologies that we have developed at the CSIR, and also facilitating the extension of fiber networks that support schools and universities. In higher education, they've got tip number 14, which focuses on the development of higher education infrastructure. We support the Department of Higher Education in coordinating activities in this regard, in the design of new technologies and laws and standards that are associated with such infrastructure. Regarding the PRCC and infrastructure, we also provide broader support to other sites that are not mentioned here. And indeed, the CEO already spoke to how we are offering broader environmental impact assessment of a variety of seed projects, mentioned specifically, obviously, the fracking initiative, which is not a bit, but also that same capability is being used to provide environmental impact assessment across the 18 sites, such as we have them, including the development of a possible 19th SIP in national infrastructure, national water infrastructure.
Thank you. I would put on a very interesting talk to the others well, but let me comment on this particular one. In fact, the example I mentioned is one of our support systems. It's a very great one on top right hand in Holland, where a single fracturing development is estimated at 50 million rand per instance. That's a big one. To the left of the talk, we made reference earlier to passing reference to technology to protect titanium and powder, beneficiate titanium, so that we can use products like in South Africa and the others. Well, that's the stage of the pilot model.
There's been a discussion in the country to have the local or to penetrate the Department of Agriculture Technology is driving efforts to develop technologies to that effect, and the Department of Mineral and Resources also developed a mineral beneficiation strategy. Like I said, titanium is a key metal when it comes to everybody's going towards energy efficiency, and weight plays a role in that. And titanium is a very recognized. Historically, Russia has been playing a leading role in terms of the production of titanium, presently with China. And everybody is looking at in the world right now, only operating plants in the world, primarily in China, and using technology that the data to send to group. In South Africa, among other countries, in the forefront of developing technologies to be able to produce titanium metal, currently produce titanium pigment that we use in paint. And the flag shows that if you sell ilmenite, it's the whole body that contains titanium. We only get about 29 cents per kilogram. If you add value, produce the titanium magnet, so you can see the price and the rationale why we should be looking at the way to beneficiate locally. To that effect, the Department of Strategic Technology has invested in the demonstration one. CSR has developed a technology that can produce the titanium powder, which is a better way of efficiency. And we're looking at the next step is to build the semi-commercial plant. We have industry partners, IBC is on board, and other industry partners, IBC, other development agents of the country.
It's a good example of a partnership. The two examples at the bottom are both mentioned something that those are ESCOM examples. The one on the left hand side is
find that news, which, you know, is important to us. Of course, that doesn't matter one thing, with this project. We don't have the privilege. It's just the opportunity to have to stop and enter into another. We're looking to provide some news. It's very, very clear indeed. And thereby avoid or minimize the prospects for podcasts. And that's very important also on the content. And then on the right-hand side is ESCOM came to us. This is a challenge. They want to be able to get a sense of the interpretation of transmission lines by taking pictures, images of what's called the corona, the transmission line is located on the left part of the electromagnetic spectrum, and gender technique that is shows how the transmission line shines in that particular spectrum. If there are pictures in the spectrum, then you know that there's something wrong, and it may be that at some point or the other. And they want to get a sign of that before it happens. And so they will have to develop a camera to do this. And so it's been a recognized product. In fact, to our awareness, it's the other. We can say, and you say, there is one of the companies, and if I, this is one of those areas where the technology is very robust. And the nice thing about working with this notion of multidisciplinarity, that you can have people producing something like this, and then other people say, hang on, but what also about who work on unmanned aerial vehicles, we can mount this thing and let it actually fly, talk about the transmission line, because after all, we know what GPS, we know what the transmission points, what different lines are. It's easy to scan and collect data and balance it in the electric system, safe decision. That's doing together. Different components, people working on materials and so on, and people working in perhaps in the defense area and then vehicles and bringing the technology together. That's a really special strategy to be able to do that. And you know, further examples, that's a nice one actually, satellite fire information tool that's been used by a number of countries now, from California, they've got there's no problem with fires. Essentially, we have problems with fires also, and sometimes fires burn and they come up, but they can be dangerous to people, to livestock, and to infrastructure. And they want to know, get a question about all these, so that they can find users about the data, and then so that they can take decisions on that basis. And then, ESCOM in particular, what kind of very interested in that, because they're interested in knowing whether those fires start in or any other transmission.
On the weather news, often they show images of our analysis of this quite fast. In a day, there's a large number of fires in any given day. And I mentioned the National Cleanup Production Center earlier and other things, working for a program. And empowering people to access to the internet, to wireless financial for rural access to broadband connectivity to schools, or that places that might not otherwise be connected. And then that leads nicely to how to impact or having basic education for a lot of other abstract institutions that will connect a school. And then once you do that, provide connectivity in that way, you can then begin to provide services. And then give up the kind of things that can be do by local intervention to ICT. I'm not necessarily talking about intervention in the schools in the sense of getting involved in the curriculum. We don't think that's our base. Our base is to simply provide technology to enhance the experience of teaching and learning, especially. And let's set examples. I will not go through them in detail here. But there's also what we do that comes closest to content is something we call doctrine, which you can do. So maybe it's to pose questions on this social network platform called YouTube and then get answers online
Perhaps let's stop there, Chair, and allow you to sit by to or allow you to look to friends. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Now, it becomes very easy for me if I'm in a country where we don't have good time to say, I'll give you so many videos, come and work for me, and you'll be able to do this country. Because I've seen a very innovative. I'm not sure how to make sure that I'm in the you may even have mentioned enough to the district, but I don't know how. I can still say come and if I'm in Zimbabwe, say come and work in Zimbabwe, I'll give you more money. So that because the end result is going to be making my country more economically vital, better off and so on, which is still like the sideline of what is still in the end taking to another country as called the country. The system of doing this thing. All the things they, you would need a private company to run with them and sell them. How do you decide who should treat if you invent a particular thing like that one that looks like it's probably the way you take your drop of blood and you send it. Now, which company would you say, okay, take it, do you say, hey, take it, or do you send up a tender and say, look, we've developed this? Whatever, or you leave it with your family and say, no, I'm not going to sell to them, but I imagine that you don't have enough means or something to manage. But we need to understand that. And that goes with the thinking of the world. You know, I'm told that the European countries are very good in coming up with new innovations, but they're not very good in marketing that. And China just goes and looks at what they've done, and they do it and they market it, and it becomes theirs. I'm told that the Java country was manufactured somewhere, they were better manufactured somewhere, but now it's in China, and they're marketing it very well. But the thing that you get from Germany is very good, but they don't know how to talk about it. I'm not sure if you understand what I'm trying to say. They don't know how to say. This is good. Just like America, we go to Germany and steal something and we take work away. I'm told there's a thing that they're quite useful for help, which if you bring the war, they'll kill the bacteria. And you bring the theater, and the theater won't help you do that. So you won't have what becomes infection. They purchased from Germany. Now they didn't market it, but somebody managed to steal it and managed to come. There are other things that you know, like I was traveling to Namibia. I saw the dry desert, and somebody told me that now the people they are able to know where the water is, and they bring us water there. For me, that's not, I can't know it, but they know how they do it. How do you enhance it? Somebody knows how to do it. But because for me, it feels as if you should be we don't believe in the paper. What is open access to the source? And fear that. We don't know who wants to know what open access to the connection. There's something which says I can sit here and look at this image in Congo and make a diagnosis in the dermatologist here, which is telling us, are you this is raising a lot of questions, and I'm sure members are going to ask him quite a lot, but maybe we would need to sit down and show us some of the things that he has doing, especially the examples that he has given, as this is what he has doing, and the understanding. I know I've listened to Osio. Osio, I'm sure you've noticed that when he talks, he's very fast. He talks very fast, like Shanazi. And the people are very fast, usually they start by stammering, and they become very fast. And the reason why I'm doing this is because people who are stammering are more clever than those who talk. I'm not, I've done a research, it's my own. those who stammer, they are faster, they are more brilliant than those who don't stammer. Okay. Charissa, I saw your hand up. Can I see the other hand? That just has it. My lips are changed. Okay, it's a question.
Yes, thank you. First, I want to say information about this, the energy emission coming from Eskom and the line. Because we live in this called the Kaja Park that actually built underneath these lines. And I always wondered what the health issue could be for someone, and for other people living in the rest of the country. England is built underneath electricity lines like that, especially my power line. And second, if you visited the Kumbaba project last year, and we saw the nutrition project and the agriculture, but I would very much like to know, because I also saw the sanitation and there was none at the school that we visited. It was non-existent. The, I just put in question at with regards to what the part of the public works will do about it, because it was really, it was basically the toilet. So we had a situation where you had the technology where students were being given tablets, and but they had no proper sanitation, which was very encouraging. That was down the road, there was a clinic where you could literally eat from the ground because it was in absolute mint condition, and you could see the services were being given of all sorts of standards. So I would very much like to know where does the water limitation come in with regards to this project, and has the situation improved at that middle school? Because we have not had proper feedback with regards to that. I could have started on my phone, but I think because no one else, when we went there, no one else in the previous committee or the rest of the delegation wanted to go and see what I thought. So I had to take that call. And I also got a question. But I think that was, to me, that was shocking that we, on one hand, children had wonderful opportunities, but on the other hand,
thank you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Sonita. While Marlene is still organizing the questions, you know, there's a lot that we need to learn from animals. And it is all the things that they did it before us. I've seen situations where when there's going to be a storm, you see mice running away. Meaning that there's something that is detected even before the storm comes. Are we learning something from the animals? Or I know the aeroplane come from the fact that the plane can fly. Are we learning something out of the animals? Or we got, is that the innovation that comes from the aeroplane?
I don't necessarily agree with that when you see a tortoise. The guys who are talking about it, every time you come here, you can feel rain. So, on your last comment, but thank you very much for the presentation and the team. I wanted to find out Yes, I am known as the top of the stage. No. I don't understand why don't you be innovative and create something like you know what, the one problem that we have in South Africa is the systems not talking to each other. On Saturday I was dropping off the M1 hospital, so I gave them my name and then there was all this team here that you know has never been seen to one of our next case. But my whole data was there. But I've gone to 4 weeks some time ago. But they picked up here, so I didn't have to start from there. So that when I think it will keep corruption and stuff like that, but if you enter my ID number, it should give everything about me. I've applied for the RDC house, I've taken this and I moved to where I got married to us, something like that. So that we even those people who corrupt the departments and our system and abuse the money in the public purses, they can easily be caught. But I also wanted to congratulate you on maintaining 18 audits. Congratulations on that. I know that it's broad and I know that it is the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research. But I want to find out about parliamentary research. You know, now that we've gone as parliament, very vigorous on oversight over the executive, the gist of ensuring that happens efficiently or is the quality of research that you get. While I was in my previous Latin House, they were organizing, I'm sure there's people that they commissioned all the sessions. So that they come on board also, and I must think that they've got a role to play in the parliamentary arm. I just want to know if given that a thought. And because you find also in parliament when you employ researchers, it's very quick that they are coached by others because you groom them, you train them, they begin in involved. Very rare that you can find someone who's been in the system. The other area is on water. Seeing the flagship program as the president and the country itself, with the recent Bloomwater water contamination, if you are involved with that department to ensure that our waters and stuff like that are checked and are clean. But also linking that with I know that the South African National Defence Force, some of their engineers, I learned from my niece who was based in Kronstadt and was worried that there's a problem of water in Kronstadt, and they are there and they can help Prima Hala because they are trained on water purification. And so, and they go into that in other countries and yes, they start off that we have that problem. I just want to find out if you have any relationship with them with yourself. And the parliamentary society, and I think top of our agenda is to push around the team with the ruling party to understand that science and technology and innovation the core and backbone of where the country wants to go to, and also in supporting the national development plan. So we are your advocates in pushing for more budget so that more money can go to the state. So we're very passionate about that. The indigenous knowledge and how do you, the IT aspect of indigenous knowledge and the one thing that we raised now. I also was even thinking about the Mujaji and the rainmaking. Lightning, what is known as witchcraft. I think as some of us in the community people say, what is this science and technology? Very different, no, not just witchcraft. Something can show that the lightning even when the sun is right here at 32 degrees. But what is it that we do about that? Especially, I think some of these things we identify to do the science people, things like that, but I think the vocal would be more of that. The concern of the copper theft and for that disrupts trains and stuff like that, including the house train and that. And lastly, it was interesting on slide 85 where it talks of Mr. Chipando was talking about higher education on that slide, but it shows teachers of lower primary.
whatever set of issues that our success has made possible, we should hold ourselves that it can come to a higher summit and we can be doing more. And doing more ultimately is much more than about money. I know there's also accent and accent, rightly so, on the input in terms of money, but going all the way through to kids who can be enthused and inspired by not just seeing what science can do, what to make a viable product such as this, but seeing where they can deploy that expertise in the country, in the economy of the country. The scientific base to the economy is not as wrong as it is, for example, in a highly developed country like Germany. There's a Fraunhofer, which is the equivalent to us. And then there's a whole system of companies like Siemens and Mercedes-Benz that will employ and absorb all these people who come out of universities with very much degrees in science and engineering. You make reference, Chair, to Sasso, which does a lot of research in a particular field related to chemistry, chemical engineering, and materials and so on. And then there's a little bit of what that happens, I guess, in some mining industries. But rather a little by way of, why to speak of a knowledge-based industry, a strong industry that's predicated upon cutting-edge expertise, and it'll be in specialized areas like the electronics industry that largely were spawned by the Chinese defense sector, as a result of those. And but it is limited. A lot of what you do is still primarily work of the base nature of making stuff and exporting, you know, mining stuff and exporting it and so on. But it, for us to speak meaningfully, very meaningfully about, say, beneficiation across a variety of areas, ultimately it comes down to people. So I can name other challenges, but I think I'll stop on that one, but I think it's in trouble.
higher education or equipment or basic.
Exactly.
second is double given, given by my colleague here, if I may, honourable member myself. Okay, that has to do with the fact that we interact and there's a program here, a SIP program that we're involved in higher education, or that we're called upon to involve in higher education. And other things we're doing benefit higher education, such as on behalf of the Department of Science and Technology, we're involving our colleagues in fact on the Sunrise Network, the South African National Research Network, which is a broadband network, which is absolutely imperative for universities to be able to connect to the rest of the system. And it's also an infrastructure that is essential, and it was key. It had that infrastructure was key to our needs for the square kilometer array, because the SPM was phenomenal. So it so happens that that's what I'm looking at the top is a box that has a number of probes in there that will be different water control. And this will detect the probes pick up various number of different things when we're interested in such an acidic top of water or the concentration of and then there's the chem cover and so on. And then you then draw any inferences about the qualities of water as you want to test what you're talking to. And finally, what one can then do, bringing together the ability to make sense of that can detect what is in the water and put it in real time to ICT, or the wireless mesh network of some of our data that we're using for school. We can then connect devices, the whole device, to a network, or in a wireless net. Or it's testing for something simple, like it's a SIM card. So information in real time, that is telling you what the quality is. And you can say the water here is in status, no longer green, it's red, or whatever it is. And someone else takes a decision in Italy to do something like that. That's, of course, one place the full laboratory test, where you take something and take somewhere to test it properly. But it is an intervention that gives an instant indication of what the status of the water. And those are the ideal for us to deploy rules and habits that have a concern. It is in every one of us from what's different plans across the country. Now, what I'm just saying with all of these technologies that while we watch first one else is funny, but sometimes we are simply making it a little bit more difficult than we are able to buy off the from the contract. The same is true of double that underflow, for example, detecting the point of care exam process. You can detect the health of features using machines that are a lot more expensive than not a lot less. So at a certain time more motivated by it. But we can say more on the water, on parameter. Allow me, I have a question and let me stop here and ask colleagues to respond, maybe take it from our and then the call can come out.
If I can respond to the question on the
good ICT working model, but there wasn't good sanitation. I'm happy to let you know that 2 weeks ago we commissioned 2 brand new, very good toilets in Azam Service School. I think that is the school in question. We've done that. But beyond that, I think that is a few, and my colleagues from the DSC who are not in the office right now are our collaborators on this. To take an integrated perspective, and I do believe that is one of the slides that talks it, to say, how then after we brought ICT in, do we integrate other aspects such as energy and agricultural productivity, and then ICT to deliver other services as well in the same area, and try to create some sort of model. So that's where things are going, if I can speak to that. And which is
Chris
maybe I mentioned this, that one of them will have tea. So we can have tea in the boardroom. What will we have? We'll have lunch after the next group. So if the hunger or the blood sugar is going down, we quickly go out and have your tea and come back. And then we'll have lunch after the next group. Okay.
Can
you
comment quickly on the program?
Commercials and how to put their team together. And I think that's a question that many people in the the key prerequisite for success actually is a team. Different technology. So in the CSR, what we like to do is very often the investor is key to setting a technology forward, but they're not necessarily the best person to be the CEO of that company. So we do have a number of networks with angel investors, with venture funds in South Africa, with the IEC, and we try as best possible where we want to start a company. So we meet the investor, and what's the best possible team we can put around us in terms of giving the company every chance of success. It must be said that you don't want to start a company unless it's a platform technology. You don't want a single product in a company. The chances of success are a lot lower. So very often we also license technologies to existing companies. For example, Salmonotics you saw up there, we may license that to MPAC. They really have a network and labs out there, and we would get a return on the commercial revenue that they generate from deploying that technology. So there's a very complex process we go through in terms of evaluating, doing due diligence, and trying to decide the best way to market. Also, very often the window of opportunity is more. You are aware of competing technologies coming out. You have to do freedom to operate studies to say, oh, infringing, enter anyone else's technology. And it's a very interesting field. And if you were at the budget speech, lunch, Dr. VC gave a presentation, which you didn't see, it does talk to some of the companies that have started up, been started by CSR. Some of them is as old as 60 years old or 50 years old, they're still going. We can share that information in terms of some of the successful startups. Uberco, which is one of the startups, is now generating 48 million rand of revenue internationally. That's coming in and employs 16 people in a very high tech field. Thank you, Charlie. I hope that's responded to your question.
Thank you. Maybe we'd like to quickly call the next talk with a lot of time. But I'd like to leave you with the last question. You don't have to answer it. You know, science is like a chapter of. Now, science can be used against humanity, and the same science can be used to develop. Now, why are you behind the curve? They seem to be ahead of those who are working for communities. Let me make an example. I was working I must not be able to drop my car, and I won't know that I have drop my car. So it's science, but it's not science to think you can be society. Now, it seems that we are scientists doing it for the community. We are left behind by the people. They are far ahead of us. So why haven't they ahead of us? Let's say we said that we need to be ahead of those who are working for the community, and those who are working against community. Because they invest in unifiers, and they don't even necessarily invest at all. Somebody is from the house, used to work at the same time. You could come to the house and go and steal money from the bank. And using the same technology that I think we have on the home. I'm sure some people say Montreal. He is saying no,